Hey, greetings and welcome to the Wednesday Rewind here at Believer City Church in Menominee, Wisconsin. Each and every week we gather here to revisit our previous Sunday message. And in doing so, we move away from that Sunday church service monologue and into a dialogue of community discussion. We want to bring out the practical application of our living faith out of the church and into the real world. I'm Pastor Tim. I'm the senior preaching pastor here at Believer City Church. And if you're local, you're likely tuned to 101.7 FM street level radio. And if you are further away, you're no doubt with us via the internet or maybe even regional TVs. But however you got here, we are glad you did. Last Sunday, we were in 1 Peter chapter 3 and chapter 4. In a message that was entitled, Above All Things, Let's Jump In.
Peter wrote, and above all things, have fervent love for one another. Above all things. Well, that's a pretty large statement there, isn't it? So as we begin our section today here in 1 Peter, we are given a very important idea by adding a very little word, and that word is also just a little word, but it actually has great impact upon the text and how we are to receive it. And this is why Peter was writing this letter. He was seeking for better men, better women who would step up and live despite the difficulty. In a dynamic way. Because many of them had indeed lost everything in the pursuit of God and kingdom. Some of them had lost even their very lives. He encouraged them, despite this difficulty, to close ranks. So much of what Peter was writing, and others too, James and the like, these guys would write so much about the church, about the unity, about the community in which they belonged, and needing to love each other and serve each other and hold each other up. Why? Because God knew we were going to get here in 2025. When we're under fire, we tend to retreat. Peter, though, he understood. I want you to notice, it's not like he was unfeeling. He encouraged them. He seemed to have a clarity of what was on the table here. He reminded them that God was indeed with them. He hadn't abandoned them. And he reminded us something that we need to be reminded of on a regular basis, and that is this world is merely a brief stop on a sojourner's life. Sometimes we need to be reminded of that. You know, you read the news and it seems like everything's in chaos. It's like, where's God? And let me be the first to tell you today, if you don't already know, God is exactly where He's always been. He's not panicked. He's not concerned. He's not worried. He's in control. Now, all of this, no doubt, was a hard message to deliver by Peter. I would imagine it was an even harder message to receive by those reading it. And as I said when I began this message this morning, that this was not for the weak, it's not for the immature. And if you're in that category this morning, I'm not here to beat up on you, but I am here to tell you, this stuff's going to be really, really hard for you. From your pastor on down. We're just a bunch of mutts. And the only thing that has distinguished us is that we have that passion and that we're all in. And we desire to move the world. And furthermore, this world is not our home. We're here to serve the King, and someday we're leaving. And there comes that day when you suddenly realize maybe in a far greater, fuller picture. King says, are you with me or not?
It
in this section this week. The Apostle Peter is speaking those very well-known words. He says, "And above all things, have a fervent love for one another." Above all things, have a fervent love one for another. However, before he gets there, Peter's not going to lay out the scene, this background, if you will, on the exercise of that love. For seldom is the demonstration of a true Jesus modeled agape love actually practiced in what I would call a pristine situation or maybe a storybook scenario. The manifest of agape love is often served up in some rather fiery and difficult trials and testings. Look, most people will abandon such an exercise when the going gets rough, or they will see themselves, I think, as excused. They're excused due to the perceived extraordinary conditions in which they are enduring. Yet, such conditions are, in fact, actually normal when they are connected to the exercise of such a love as this. They certainly were for and Jesus Christ himself. We know that to be a fact. Now, anyone, I think, can practice a little love when the wind is at our backs and the waters are calm. It is in the midst of the fires that true agape love is found. That's why it's such a rare commodity. Fervent love, God's perfect love, is a scarce resource always, but it is particularly uncommon, a particularly uncommon find when times are difficult and the going is rough. Yet this is the picture that Peter is painting for all of us, a picture that is uncommonly accurate in the spiritual application of this very rare and wonderful commodity of agape love. Peter, he began, but with the word also. He said, Christ also suffered. And his point here was that Jesus suffered. He went through the trials and through the fires, just as they had, just as we have here today, those who are tuned to this service. Yet, he still loved, he still agape loved, despite those fiery trials, and he still expects us to also. He still expects us to manifest this kind of love in a society that is rather entrenched deeply in the other side of this, in a culture that actually worships the individual, worships the self. The self is the final word on all matters, it seems, in 2025. It's a rare thing to see body life and community and other-centered living and humble group priority living. Generally, people will give until there is discomfort involved, and then that comes quickly to a stop. In our day, the greater church seems to be going out of their way to actually prioritize comfort, to prioritize good vibes. And this is often done at the cost of authentic gospel and at the cost of true Christian living. And as long as that is still accepted as Christian, people are going to continue to seek out and actually flock to such fellowships where the living is easy. And nothing is asked of them, and nothing is expected of them. Peter, however, he wasn't surrendering to this kind of thinking. He knew what Jesus lived out as an example to us. Again, remember the word also. And what living out Christ truly expects from us. It was not that he was unsympathetic. Peter wasn't unsympathetic to the people's trials and to their difficulties. And I know that's a favorite charge by the Jesus Light folks today, those who actually are knee-jerking to the guilt caused by watching biblically faithful churches hold the course while the others acquiesce to the ever-changing landscape of religious practice. No, Peter was indeed sympathetic. He was indeed seemingly pained by what he knew the people were experiencing in order to be faithful, yet emotion and comfort did not sway his message, nor did it deter his calling. No, he stood unmoved, and even he went so far as to call the people into a yet greater passion, a more committed lifestyle of service, a more committed lifestyle of giving, praying, and indeed loving. He was calling on the believers to, at this point, actually lean into their ministry despite the trials, despite the difficulties. And you know, that was just no doubt unthinkable for many individuals in Peter's day, just as most assuredly it is today. You know, throughout this letter, I have warned the listener repeatedly that this letter was not for the novice. It wasn't for the religious dabbler. This call, while indeed for all men and for all women, still, however, is only going to be accepted and only going to be received by what I would call the radically committed, the faithfully mature. And let's face it, those in that latter category are most definitely few and far between. Especially, again, while being catered to by a generation of marginally moralistic clubs that call themselves houses of God. So this person, it's an albatross, it's a white elephant. This person's a rare thing, to be sure. So in order to be faithful, in order to be obedient, in order to reflect Christ as he truly is, in order to love fervently as he loves, we will surely have to take on some level of discomfort, some level of self-sacrifice. You know what? Quite likely even some pain, all for the furthering of the kingdom of God. That's the crossroads of your life when you come to that epiphany. And that moment, that crossroads, whether it's yay or nay, is going to be forever burned into the psyche of your spiritual history. It will declare to all, including you, whether you are truly in or not. Anyone can sail when the sky is blue, right? When the water's calm, when the wind is at their backs, as we already said. But can we, will we do so in the midst of this storm when all hell is breaking loose? Now remember, there is honestly no such freedom as that which is being peddled by our modern culture. That kind of freedom is a lie of Satan. According to Scripture, he's the father of all lies. Ultimately, our free will, gang, begins and ends with the choice of who will be forever bound to us. Satan or God our Creator? That's the beginning and the end of our free will. The world at large now, they have indeed been conned into believing that there is a third option, one that generally revolves around our individual selves, you know, ruler over one's own life and domain. And sadly, every one of us will realize before it's all over that no such option actually exists, and we have no ultimate control over our lives and destinies. And sometimes it takes a person a lifetime, right to their deathbed, to come to that acknowledgement. We only get to choose who is going to be in control of us. There will be those who will indeed taste of the heavenly gifts. The Bible says those who were once enlightened, and they will indeed inexplicably return to the darkness. And however crazy that may seem to those of us that are committed to Christ, it happens often, and those that do are eternally lost. Moreover, if possible, they're actually now even more guilty than before, because now they know the truth. They know what the truth is. They know what the reality is of the divine, and still they wanted the world and its offerings, and they wanted these things that Satan was offering them more than that which God desires to give us. There are those of us, and some, who will know the fires of testing that Peter is calling us to, and some will return back to the world, but there are some who will, despite all of the push of the world, they will manifest a fervent love, and they will do so rightfully, righteously, not only for God the Father, but they will do so as the Scripture calls us to. They will do so for their brothers and sisters in Christ. Fervent. Oh, what a word. It's a word that clearly expresses both the intensity and the passion that is being asked of us. Peter, he wasn't messing around. The question is, are we?